Man, where are you?
In my studio in the Faroes, Torshavn.
Far, far away from where
Yes.
I'm at. I'm on the arse end of the world, and you're that way somewhere. But
Where are you?
I'm in well, I'm close to Brisbane on the it's called the Gold Coast in Australia.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid we missed that part. Looks absolutely spectacular on pictures. Love to go there.
Yeah, well, you were close.
Yes, we were. Unfortunately, absolutely no time for sightseeing when on tour, but we were looking at pictures of places we'd like to go, and the Gold Coast specifically was, it looks otherworldly.
Pretty good, man. We got it pretty good here. But I want to be, you
I'm
always
sure you
want to
do.
be, you always want to be where you're not. Like, I would love to come and see your where you are. You know what I mean? Like, you've got it's beautiful over there.
It's pretty nice here, I must say, yeah.
And man, that's it. Hey, one day we'll do the swap. But
Yeah, will you? We will.
in the meantime, though, dude. Hey, my name's Nev. It's great to meet you. The new album, Battle Ballads, is out on April 12, and it's really great, man. Album number 9. How are you feeling about getting it out there in the world?
Very, very excited. It's taking too long as usual, but we're very pleased with this one, with the addition of a new guitar player and with the addition of some new elements into our music. We're generally pleased with this one, and we have two singles out. They've been doing extraordinarily well. The reception has been, I would say, overwhelmingly positive. So yeah, this is looking good so far, and hoping for more good news.
Well, I believe you were under quite a lot of pressure to complete the album, though, right? Like, there was a lot of moving parts with the recording and getting everything ready. You know, did you find that sort of pressure helped create something special in the end?
It's possible. It's possible. You know, artistic types, and I definitely fall under this category.
Hmm.
I often say I don't work best under pressure. I work only under pressure, unfortunately. But yeah, pressure is good, definitely. What it does to the outcome, I'm not sure. I've been looking back at the discography. Sometimes I've been under too much pressure, and I think the material suffered from it, but no, we worked this one through pretty thoroughly, and I think the pressure was at the right level. It made us finish the album, and we did the best we could, and I don't think we were the result suffered from pressure.
Do you know now where that level of pressure is, though, before, you know, breaking point for you creatively? Do you know where that is now you've been through it?
I know when it's going too far. Yes, I do. So the time pressure that we put on it is only from ourselves. The label has no comment about anything, neither timing nor content. Absolutely zero comment. We have completely free hands, free reins from Metal Blade, which might be good and might be bad. Artistically, it's good, but you know, professionally, financially, it's bad. So, but then again, we're in this, I'm in this, and I know my bandmates are, because we love the music. We love music in general, heavy metal especially, and adding to the great corpus of music is what makes our lives worthwhile to a large degree. So we enjoy the freedom, but we may suffer a bit financially now and then for it.
I
It's
know.
all good. I'm not complaining.
Oh no, I know all about that. I know very, very well what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Yeah, man. And sometimes you just go, "Oh, why do I do this to myself?" And then you go, "Oh yeah, that's right." One of those times.
yes.
Yeah. You go,
Then you hear your first Iron Maiden song again for the 117th time, and you think, "Oh yeah, now I remember. Now I remember."
that's right. The money pit that keeps me sane. but
Yes.
but you worked with Lars Winter for the orchestral sample, of course, orchestral. Let me stop that one again. It's a bit late. Orchestral samples. You know, when they came back and you heard them for the first time, did it inspire you to maybe change any of the compositions or lyrics of the songs, or maybe flesh them out a bit more, or did you sort of just leave them where they were at?
No, it was all settled before we went to the orchestrations. I sent Lars the notes I had for the music, so he can see. I put it all down in full notation: bass, vocals, choirs, guitar, drums, everything. Send it to him so he can see the details, the minute details of the music, even solos, and he can adapt the orchestral parts to that. So w being that organized makes work go faster and makes it possible for him. He doesn't have to sit there and try and figure out the details. He can already see it in front of him. So I asked him to put the orchestral music inside our metal versions and not make it sound like it's something added on top, which I think he did brilliantly. It really sounds like it's inside the song. So he to a large degree follows what we'd written already, but where there's room for it, he adds something extra, percussive effects, cinematic effects, and then something in some places, something that's completely new to the music where there's room for it. We never went back to rework anything. He worked it brilliantly into what we already had.
And you're right, it's so perfectly blended. It just all just sits and flows together. You know, it's big and theatrical, but you know, sometimes you get those bands and they add those elements and it just becomes overpowering and just, you know, but this is just one perfect piece. You've done very, very well.
I think so, yes, I think so. And it requires a high level of organization, but we have that. And so yeah, I'm thank you. I think we did that well, yes, or Lars did that well.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely. And in regards to the title, you know, when people think of the word ballad, they think of, you know, love songs and mellow stuff. But this is definitely not the case with this album. You know, it's got the melodic
Exactly.
it's got the melodic elements there, but you know, how does it fit into the themes of the record and where you were headed?
So ballads here in the medieval sense, as folk stories with folk tales in a melodic setting with a story to it. Many melodies here are based on Faroese and Nordic ballads, and two of the songs are directly this call it metallizations of proper ballads, Torsionstøter and Velkomne Føringer. So there's some, let's say, inspiration of medieval balladry here, which is very standard for us as a band. That's what we've done for a living for the last 20 years. So I see how people might get the connotations to 80s and 90s hair metal ballads, but I think you only need one look at the cover of our album and you see that's not what we're talking about here.
No, it's a cool cover.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome. But you know, have you found that when you know you're doing the research for the lyrics and the concepts, have you found out more about your own personal, say, family history or anything like that? Maybe you know the connections there. Has that sort of happened to you?
Yeah, a bit here and there. I was always interested in Faroese medieval balladry since I was 10 years old, and there's not that much research. I've kind of been around it all several times, but every now and then something comes up, you find out you're related distantly to someone who wrote this and that ballad. You learn some new melody that you had never heard before. That there are some of these are kind of known to the general public here, some of these ballads, but I would say the vast majority of them I'd never heard before, and I think the general public in the Faroes probably never heard before. And it's very fascinating that these things have been recorded and written down since the early 1900s. And you can go, if you're interested in it, as a layman or academically, you can go look it up, which I certainly have done. And it's a fascinating journey it takes you on sometimes. So yeah, I learned a lot of obscure stuff, but mostly I would say I go on the stuff that I learned when I was much younger. So a bit of both.
And of course, being from the Faroe Islands, which looks, as I said before, looks incredible, and it's got such a deep history. Did growing up there inspire you musically from that young age, or did you find that the inspiration first came from the outside world, from records and things that sort of picked up on?
That's really hard to quantify precisely. Of course, when I was 10 years old, I learned about Faroese balladry, Faroese history, and Nordic history, and Nordic mythology, and everything. I was fascinated by it immediately. That didn't connect to music other than the melodies that came with the Faroese ballads. Then later, when I was 14 and onwards, I got interested in heavy metal. That, of course, is an external influence or inspiration. I started listening to Scandinavian and British bands, mostly German bands, and later American bands. When I m made my first band, I wanted to combine these things that I loved, Faroese history and medieval balladry and heavy metal. So I suppose you have to say it had a profound influence on me. At least the cultural side of the Faroes to the metal that we've written. When it comes to, I don't know, weather or landscape, it's very hard to say how much it affects the artistic output. It probably does, but as an individual, kind of inside that process, it's almost impossible to say how it would be if it were not for that, if I lived in, I don't know, the Netherlands or some flat place. The Dutch, I love the Dutch. Nothing bad about them, but it's a very flat and boring land to look at. Landscape-wise, there are nice things in the Netherlands.
I mean, I guess it'd be different if you lived down here in Australia as well. Grow up here, it'd be
It's
completely different.
hard to say. Hard to say. For me, at least, I think that would be for other people to judge, honestly.
But one thing I'm finding, you probably see it a lot being over that way, is that the culture and the history, it's really being written about, and there's bands like folk bands. And traditional bands are coming out of the woodwork now over the last 10 years, that are massive, massive bands now. What are your thoughts on that, and people embracing their culture and history? Not just from where you are, and in Europe and stuff. That you've got like the Who from Mongolia as well, that are embracing their history as well. I've never seen anything like it, really, in all my life, apart from the last 10 years.
I think th there's been a presence of this for a long time. I mean, since the early 90s, with bands like Swedish Norwegian black metal bands, Bathory,
Yes.
or some British bands. So this kind of comes and goes. And when we started it, we were compared to some bands we'd never heard about before. We came to this, I would say, organically, naturally. It just found ourselves suddenly between bands that had done something very similar from the British Isles, from Scandinavia, without us being remotely aware of that. So it is, I think, a natural occurring phenomenon. And I don't know. Maybe it's people's desire for something authentic, something that doesn't sound like, what should I call it? Standardized international, something that sounds like where it comes from. Something that you can say like that taste and smells like where it comes from. Like you have I don't know, Mayrath from Tunisia, and they sound Middle Eastern,
Yes.
Arabic or whatever it is. And I don't know, I just enjoy that kind of feeling you get from it, that it doesn't sound, or I don't know, it sounds like the culture comes with it, it's inside it and is reflected by it. I suppose people just appreciate that, and those who produce it do it because they love both things, like I do, the culture and heavy metal, and just combine the two, and off it goes. I think people who produce it do it because they love it, and people who listen to it obviously appreciate it. So that kind of drives itself. But why and how it happens, I think people might get bored with the standardized international sound that doesn't say you have something that sounds exactly like, I don't know, Iron Maiden or Judas Priest, but then you find out it comes from Timbuktu, wherever, and you think, wow, what the hell, don't they sound like they come from there? They might be fine, they might do well, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think people kind of expect some national identity in the music, and the big ones, English and American, are already taken by Metallica and Iron Maiden. That's how they sound there. Maybe I'm rambling, but those are my
No, no,
thoughts.
no, no, no. But I love that, and it's something that I've been thinking a lot about of late, on how people really like down here in Australia. I mean, we're in Australia, but people even down here are embracing it so much, and embracing other cultures, histories, and music, and things like that. For you, it must come with such a great sense of pride that you're, putting that into your music and honoring your past like that and history.
I'm very proud of that. It's not what we set out to do, but that's where we find ourselves now, and I'm humbled and grateful.
That's excellent, man. That's excellent. So we haven't got anything like that, Danish. I guess the closest thing we've got is I just saw a thumbs down come up on the screen. Are we live? Are we live?
I don't know. I said okay to recording
Wow. I think someone's
when this went off.
Wow.
Comment if you're watching. We didn't mean to do this live, but if it is, then
That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
so
I've
be
never seen any, like, a little
it.
thumbs down came up on the screen. I've never seen that before.
Must be a glitch. If it were live, it would be thumbs up.
Hey man, that's right. Hey man, maybe the robots don't like us talking about the past.
Yeah.
Of course, you've had the band. That's thrown me off. Let me reel that back in. What's going on? Yes. Australia, what was I saying? Australia, we haven't got anything like that.
about yeah. Well, I mean, AC/DC was partly an Australian band, and
Yes,
then comes something like Airborne, and that's kind of what you expect out of Australia by now.
Australia.
But I mean, and there's also rock and soft rock bands that are
But we.
classic Australian sound. I don't know. I'm sure you have some Irish, Scottish, English folk traditions in music in Australia as well.
I guess we do have, let me say, we do have some great Indigenous musicians that are, so that's not entirely true, but I think we need to project more of that from down here is what I was trying to get at before the
Yeah, right.
so of course, I mean, the band's been going for what, almost 30 years now, and you've traveled the world and done so much in that time. Is there still something on the bucket list to achieve before, you actually hit that 30-year mark in a couple of years' time?
Of specific things to do, there's not anything. Right now, honestly, our touring came to a screeching halt when Corona started,
Hmm.
and this upcoming tour we have now will be the first proper tour we have since then. So just getting started again properly and getting the show on the road is the main goal right now. If we can get back to playing, 150 shows a year, that's the main goal right now. And then, of course, making more music, and then we'll see about future goals. If we can get this up back up and running properly, we'll take it from there.
What do you feel it's going to take to get it to that point? Like, what are the obstacles that you guys are feeling that you're facing right now post the thing that happened?
Well, everything just stopped. And then when people want to get started again, bookers, promoters have gone bankrupt, venues have gone bankrupt. So there are several bottlenecks that kind of everyone is trying to get their attention. All the bands, not just metal, but everyone is trying to get back on tour. So there are several bottlenecks there that haven't really to do with us, the band. It's our booker and our manager and their local connections everywhere that kind of have to kick back into gear and get back up to full capacity, and that takes some time. So it's not really on our side that we could do anything about this. One obstacle is that my bandmates have had to take side jobs while touring has been down. So you kind of get dependent on a different income, and that might impede you in your music work in the future. So getting back to working exclusively with music is a goal, and that is difficult to make ends meet when you live in the Faroes, because let me tell you, it's not cheap to live here. We've done it before, from around, I don't know, 2015, 16 on and until the unspeakable little fellow hit, and we hope to get back to that. That's the main goal at the moment.
Do you get support from the government and funding and things like that over there? Is that something that's open to musicians like yourself?
A little bit. For example, the studio I'm in now is this is a building run by the Artists Union of the Faroe Islands, and you can apply to rent a studio room here. And it's the rent is far below the free market. So I applied to get a room here, and I have this, so I can work. I can have all my stuff. Just ready to turn on and start working at all times, which is a lot better than having it back home in your living room or your bedroom.
Yes.
And then there are also travel or support. You get some money or free tickets to directly to wherever you might be flying, from the Kurtown Town Hall and from the government and the airline Atlantic Airways. But when you're making a lot of money from the tour, we don't usually apply for that, because you have to submit a budget, and if it looks like you're making a bunch of money, then they're hardly going to throw a free flight on top. So when we are kind of about break even, we usually apply for those and get the free flights. But for big tours like the upcoming one, we don't use those. We kind of make our own money there. So yeah, there is some support, and it helps a lot.
Awesome. Hey man, that's every band needs it. That's for sure, especially as you said, coming out of what we've come out of. But
Yes.
I tell you. But man, Australia, you were here 2022. Mate, it was like feels like it was yesterday. How was that run?
That was a dream come true. That was a lifetime dream come true. I wish, as usual, there was more time to go see stuff, but that is, that it's just, I've given up on that. It's not going to happen on tour, because the tour manager's job is to make ends meet financially, get everyone paid and back home in one piece, and arranging for, personal holiday trips is just not compatible with that. I love everything I saw there. It was like a different planet compared to Scandinavia. just, the animals you see on the ground, the birds you see in the sky, it looks like you're in the zoo compared to here. I've always wanted to visit, and I really hope we're coming back. And yeah, I was blown away by people's kindness and down to earthness, and just the spectacular vistas just about everywhere you looked.
My buddy Chris Peters, shout out to Chris Peters from Heavy Mag. He's a good friend of mine. He said he taught you some naughty words that we use down here in Australia a lot.
Sorry, I lost you there for a moment.
Oh, that's all right. I just said my buddy Chris Peters from Heavy Mag
Yeah.
taught you some naughty words when you were down here. So a certain C word.
Yeah, yes.
Did
All right.
you bring that back home? Did you take it back home, or is that super
Well,
frowned upon?
it's not something you fling around as casually as you do down under.
Down under, yeah. I thought that'd be the case. Oh, mate. Oh, mate. Well, you're gonna have to get used to it, because, mate, we hopefully get to see you again very, very soon. That's for sure.
I hope so too. I hope so too.
But just tell them, hey man, give me one day. Just slide in a day or two earlier. We'll put you up. We'll put you up, mate. You can crash with us, and then we'll take you out for some beers and some snack.
I'd love that, but if I, tell our tour manager about that plan, he's going to roll his eyes so much they're hardly going to come back. And
We'll kidnap him. We'll kidnap him for a day. Oh, we'll see you. I know. I'm just kidding, mate. I'm just kidding. But
I wish it worked like that,
oh, I know.
but it's gotta make ends meet financially and gotta keep our trusted tour managers sane, because very hard to find good people to work with. And once you have them, you want to listen to them and mostly do as they say, because they know what they're talking about.
That's right. That is true. That is true. Don't listen to this guy. He's full of bad ideas. And that Chris Peters guy, he's a naughty dude. So
I like your ideas, though. I like them, but we have, I'm afraid, other priorities take precedence.
I know. But hey, brother, in the meantime, we're gonna have all the links down here to the new album and on the website, mate. Battle Ballads, let's go. Kick ass album, my friend. Hey.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother. Hey, well, take care, man, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
You too. Thanks for doing this. Bye
Hey,
bye.
man. Bye.